Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come this morning blessing your name. Lord God, we thank you that you've woken us up this morning, that we may have active use of our limbs, God, but furthermore, God, that we may have active use of our voice. That, Lord God, we can lift up a praise to let you know that we thank you. We give you honor and we give you glory. I thank you, Father God, that this is a day that you have made, that we shall rejoice and we shall be glad in it. So, Lord God, I pray, Father, right now that God, you are glorified. I pray, Father, that God, that you are honored with our life, God, thus far, this morning. Father, I pray that, God, we didn't do anything. As we woke up in our right mind, we didn't do anything, Father, that displeased you or did not give you glory. But, Father, we just thank you right now for being able to just open up our mouths and tell you to our heart's desire. To tell you that we love you, God, and we are in love with you. And Father, we thank you for everything that you have done thus far. So Father God, I thank you, Father, that even your people are waking up right now. We may not be in the places or the situations that we desire to be in, but Lord God, we are here. And we are here with a praise. We are here with honor. We are here to give you glory. And for that, God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you allowed the very breath to flow in our bodies. We allow the very blood to run warm in our veins, God. We honor you today. We give you all praise and we give you all glory. For God, we know that this is the day that the Lord has made, you have made. And Lord God, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. So Father God, right now we lift up our hands and we lift up our hearts to you. We ask God that if there's anything that's not like you, anything that's not pleasing in your sight, we ask God that you begin to remove it right now. We ask God that you begin to touch the very core of our being and begin to remove out the hatred and the animosity and the things that has caused us to be bitter, the things that have caused us to be sorrowful, the things that have caused us to feel rejection and feel like we are alone. Because God, we know that you are with us everywhere that we go. If we go to the highest mountain, Father, you are there. If we are in the lowest valleys, God, you are there. God, even as we turn over and we lose our state of consciousness as we sleep, you are still watching over us and protecting us. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you have always made yourself known. You've always made yourself available. You've always made yourself present and relevant in our lives. And we thank you. God, I thank you, Father, that right now, this day, Father, that there shall be a great move of God. There should be a shifting of understanding. There should be a revelation that we shall see right now today. I thank you, Father, that right now, even when we know that we are yet undone, when we know that we still have things that you are constantly delivering us from, we know that, God, even in that, we still have purpose. So, Father God, we come against the enemy and all of his devices that tries to tell us that we have no value and that we have no purpose. God, we thank you that, God, we know our true purpose. We know that our purpose is to serve you and to glorify you. We know our purpose is to be the extension of your arms and your legs and to be an extension of your voice. We know, Father, that our purpose, God, is to make sure that we declare the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person, to every creed, to every color throughout this nation. We understand and we know, Father, that you shall use us, that you may spread this love, this campaign, desire to show the world that you love them and you are in love with them, that you never leave them nor you never forsake them. God, I thank you that you chose us for this great task. And I pray right now, God, that you begin to strengthen the lives of your people. Strengthen their hearts and their minds that they can stand firm and stand strong in the power of your love. Let them understand and let them know that you have a purpose and a plan for them. God, I speak to that person that is at the lowest state that they could ever be in, that is feeling that the world has turned their back on them. God, let them know that you have not turned your back on them. Let them know that you still love them, that you see them, that you know exactly where they are, and you know exactly what they're doing. You know how they're feeling. You know how they are thinking. And you're coming to make sure they understand the value that you have for them, the purpose that you have for them. And Lord God, we come against every struggle and stronghold that the enemy tries to put on the body of Christ and those that are trying to get into the body of Christ. We cancel the assignment of the enemy right now. We cancel the spirit of rejection. We cancel that disqualifying feeling, that disqualifying circumstance that tries to abort the plan of God over their lives. I cancel the assignment of the vain imaginations that are created by the enemy over your people, that makes them think that they're unloved and that they're not worthy. Father, I come against it now. I command the enemy to go back to the very pits of hell from which it came. And I command right now that God, your love, your grace, your mercy flows ever so strongly over the hearts of every man, that they'll begin to understand and see that you are in the midst of us. And God, I speak healing to the body. I speak healing to the very essence of the soul that is broken, that is bruised, that is scarred, that is damaged, that is wounded, that is burnt out. Father, strengthen it right now in the name of Jesus. build it up, God, restore it once again to its former glory, that it may be able to lift up its hands and to draw all things back to you. Father, this is the day that you shall pour out your love upon your people afresh. This is the day once again that you will smile on them. And God, I pray that they feel the love and the peace that you have for them. I pray that they begin to experience the joy and the peace that they so desire. I pray today, God, that this is the day that they realize from this day forward that no weapon formed against them shall truly prosper. But God, that they have been given the victory over every circumstance, over every situation, over every trial, that you have allowed the victory to be in their hands, to be at their feet. All we got to do is walk victoriously into the next season of our lives. So, Father God, we thank you. We thank you. We honor you. We praise you and we adore you. We love you, God. We worship you. And we adore you, God. Oh, God, we love you, Father. We worship you and we adore you. God, I thank you. Glorify your name, God. I thank you. Glorify your name, Lord God. I thank you. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Father. We bless you, Father. We bless you, God. We bless your name. We bless your most holy name, God. We bless your holy name, Father. We just stand right here in this place, in this presence, and we bless your name. We worship you and we adore you. We allow you to just make room and make ready for the word that's about to come. So, Father God, touch the hearts of every man and every believer that they may receive that very thing that they are looking for. And for that, God, I give you praise. I give you honor. And I give you glory. In the name of Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you that I love you more than anything. Yeah, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, that I love you more than anything. Yeah, yeah, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you that I love you more than anything. Yeah. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you that I love you more than anything. Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. And that's why my heart is filled with praise. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you cared for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Sing it again. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you cared for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Oh, come on and give God glory. Give God praise. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Blessings and good morning to you. This is Pastor Robert J. Douglas, and I'm coming to you live from RTRMI. Radio, where you could have truly been anywhere else. You could have been doing anything, but I am so glad that you are here, right here with us, worshiping this most high, precious, and living God that we serve. Today is Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to each and every one of you. I hope that you are experiencing love from some kind of form of fashion. And if you are not experiencing that love, know that Christ loves you. I just want to put a special shout out to a few of my favorite girls that have been so dear to me. One of them, first and foremost, is my beautiful wife, Mrs. Bridget Douglas, the First Lady of RTRMI. I want to thank her and appreciate her and let her know that I love her. I love her with all my heart and all my soul, and I'm so grateful that she is in my life. Also want to put a special shout out to my two daughters. Yes, my two daughters, Jada, my baby girl, my heart, my blood, my love, my joy. I love you dearly. And Olivia, my other heart, my spiritual blood and my love blood and my joy. I love you very dearly. These two girls have truly been a blessing to my life. And first of all and foremost, and another without, excuse me, last, my mother and my mother-in-law, Mrs. Sadie Douglas and Miss Bonnie Broxton. I want to say I love you to those ladies. I appreciate you. I thank you for strengthening us. And I also want to say praise God and love all of you that are part of the RTRMI fellowship and those that are not, that are still considered family throughout this world. I just have this joy of love in my heart. And I just wanted to let you know that if nobody else tells you, I'm going to tell you today that I love you and Christ loves you too. And so I'm so glad that this is a day that we can experience, that we can see, that we can enjoy the love of God that flows out to us. And I'm so excited about our sermon today, our topic today, because of the fact it has been brought out from the mind that God has given me, this crazy mind of Pastor Robert J. Douglas that is given to me by way of God, but the inspiration comes by the Holy Ghost. But I do believe that it'll be a word that will hopefully encourage you and to strengthen your body and your soul and your spirit. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this very thing. If you have your Bibles, if you have your iPods, and if you have your phones or whatever it is that you're using, if you can turn to me to a favorite passage of scripture that is very fitting for, I believe, today. And I'll explain to you why in a sheer moment. Praise God. But if we were to turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians, 13th chapter, starting from the 1st through the 13th verse. And again, it is a very familiar passage of scripture that we have read before, but I really want to go in and speak on a topic that I think is very critical and very important for all of us right now. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the 1st through the 13th verse, and it says, if I speak human, and I'm reading from a different version, just so you all are aware, from the Christian Standard Version, but it speaks that if I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. Loves find no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I become a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. 13th verse, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I want to present the topic of the sermon today, entitled, This is Not What Love Looks Like. I'll say it again. This is not what love looks like. And when we try to really define what really true love is, you know, we may have searched different relationships. We look at different patterns or different cycles and different things that we have experienced. And I know it may be a little corny being that I'm talking about love on Valentine's Day. It may seem a little crazy or just cliche-ish, so to speak, to talk about love on Valentine's Day. But one thing that I realize is that if we are truly believers and we truly have what we say we have, and we truly are believing what we say we believe, and we truly are walking in what the word calls us to walk into, and we truly have sacrificed what we say we truly have sacrificed, it doesn't matter when the topic of love comes up. It always should come up, or should always be on the forefront of our existence. It should always be present in the very realm of our understanding, the realm of our lifestyle, and the realm of our being. It should be significant in how we operate or how we choose to handle certain, and I'll be honest with you, certain obstacles or adversities or situations or circumstances that seem to find themselves with us. And here's the part that I believe that sometimes we miss it. It should be the true gauge of how we interact with others, good, bad, and indifferent. Now, when you look at the definition of love, and I want to take my time on this, and I believe that you're going to get something out of this. When we look at the mere general definition of love, and it's very vanilla, it's very, it says what it says, but doesn't add anything to it. But it does leave a few things, a few questions unanswered. The definition merely of love, if you look at the Webster Dictionary or whoever dictionary that you look at, basically states that it is an intense feeling or deep affection that you have for a certain thing or someone. I'm reminded of something that my father used to say a long time ago, and he said it jokingly. And he would say that love is merely just a misunderstanding between two fools. And when I think about that, it makes you chuckle a little bit. But it brings a reality to something that we see across this nation and across this board. Now, if you go to a jewelry store, if you go to a candy shop, if you go to a card shop, they have their own interpretation of what love is. That if a person buys a particular jewelry, although it's pretty and although it is nice, I'm not knocking that display of affection at all, but although, you know, it is pretty, it's nice, and it may have a certain value to it. It may be a diamond, maybe a jewel, a pearl, it may be a ruby or gold or silver or what, all of these different things that we have placed a value on, okay? When you ask them what love is, if you generally just go into a jewelry store and ask the jeweler, can you show me what love is? They would actually show you something that would have a high price value, would have a high ticket price on it. Might be the most valuable or the most expensive thing in the store is what they're going to present to you. Because what their goal is to try to let you understand or to change that out, to try to convince you to accept the idea that the display of love comes with a wealthy price tag or a materialistic price tag. If you go to Walmart, Walgreens, Eckerd's, or whatever those places are, you'll see the display. You say, okay, well, hey, can you show me what love is? And they will quickly point you to all the gifts and the flowers and the cards and balloons and all these different things. And it's crazy because these things, I'm not knocking those things. That's great. But one thing that I've realized in my life is that true love is not materialistic. What I mean is that something material can't truly display the love for which I am speaking of. So it goes back to my topic or my title is saying, that is not what love looks like. You see, we all have our experience with love. We've all wrestled with love. We've all been hurt by love. We've been abused or mistaken or misunderstood or been invigorated or have been caught up or been confused or misguided or misunderstood or whatever it may be. We have all have had our running with this thing called love. And the crazy part about that is that we try to define the best that we can what we believe what true love looks like. And most of the times, what we try to create, what we try to envision, what we try to paint, the matter of fact, the very portrait or the picture that we try to paint is a little bit misguided or is a little bit off. Reason being is because it is coming through a broken lens of our experiences and expectations, or excuse me, from experiences that we've had and the expectations that we have created from those experiences. Whereas the view or the picture that we may create, although it may look beautiful, there's a lot of pieces that are missing in it. The pictures that we see, or the images that we see on social media, or the images that we may see in the movies, or the images that we may hear about on radio, or some of the songs that we may hear that talks about what love basically looks like. It paints a picture, but it's kind of dysfunctional at best, if that's the best word that I can use, because it doesn't give you the ins and outs and the nooks and crannies of what true love looks like. And over time, and through different experiences that we may have had with individuals, based off of the love that they received, we get a modified or adjusted version of the love that they give. And sometimes that comes from disappointments and broken promises that they have experienced or had to deal with, and have never got any type of resolution on. And when love is required from them, it comes out a little bit contaminated, or it comes out a little bit spoiled. And sometimes they don't really know. And it's interesting that we look for this love from broken individuals. Let me go back and change what I said, because I just got something. We look for a perfect love from imperfect individuals, or we look for a complete love from broken individuals. We look for an uncontaminated, or excuse me, a pure love from contaminated individuals. We look for a perfect, supreme, excellent love from flawed vessels. Whereas our expectation of what we would like to receive does not match up with what we always give. And even though we may think that what we give is everything and all that we have, we may feel some kind of way when what we give, when we know it's our everything, is not given back. So that now dictates or determines the love that we choose to give back out again. I know that it's corny that I'm talking about love, but I know that it's hitting on a lot of things that many of us may have dealt with. So when we look at the essence of love in itself, and we talk about it when it comes to scripture, we merely have to go through the true example of John 3:16 that says that for God so loved the world that he gave. I'm going to stop right there. For that God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. Now it goes further and it says that the only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that is a true gauge that we can look at, because if you think about this ultimate and all-powerful God, he gave of something that he has, something that was precious to him, something that had value, something that meant a lot, something that was the very essence of who he was and who he is. And many of us have felt like that before when we've given ourselves over to people. We've given ourselves over to different things. We have proven our love as we feel to a particular individual or a particular relationship, be it married or being unmarried, be it saved or before saved. Never the sense you still given all that you have in hopes of that it would be valued or it would appreciate it. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the only Son that he has, so that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that love goes and transcends to many different things. It transcends to many different individuals. But it's interesting because when I speak the word of whosoever believeth on him, it opens up another gate, because even in that it says that whosoever believeth on him, and it's really, it doesn't say that you must surely believe. It says that if you believe on him, meaning that if you choose to believe on him, that you shall get everlasting life. But one thing about John 3:16 is that it's not filtered, it's not restrained, it's not decisive, it's not saying that, okay, if you choose to believe, then it's for you. But if you choose not to believe, then you have no part of it. When you look at it from that lens, or look at it from that way, and I'm saying it very generally, is that he does offer it to anybody that is willing to receive it. He doesn't withhold the offer just because he feels that they're not going to receive it, but he gives them the opportunity and the choice to decide, and lets them know the blessings thereafter. I believe that we have come into a time where people are looking for a love that is better than what they have experienced. And the sad part about it is that the places where they are now starting to seek love are the very places where they are being destroyed. And I'm not just talking about the love from a human being in a sense of a relationship like a boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm not talking solely about that. But I'm talking about the disconnect that is starting to happen in the church. I'm talking about that thing where we should be the example of love, but because of religiosity and our traits and religious background and religious rituals and religion and all these different hangups and snares and all these different things of how we used to do it and all these different guidelines and formats and criterias that we have broken the lens that God chose that we should look at love. Or matter of fact, we're not even looking at the true lens that he is desiring for us to look at. Whereas when our view of love towards someone else that may not be in the same predicament or situation that we are in, or may not be in a certain, they're basically dealing with life, our view of them is misguided, misjudged. It is derogatory. It is condemnation. It is holding them to a standard that we truly needed grace and mercy to get us to that standard. It is contaminated at best. And I'm not talking about all churches, but I'm talking about the churches in general. And it is where, when people are coming to experience the love of Jesus Christ, we have manipulated them to accept this false doctrine of what we feel that love should be based off of our experience. Whereas the thing that we give out, which is condemnation and judgment and harshness and all these different things, impatient and ridicule and demeaning and belittling, this coming from the church, the true bride, it's supposed to be the true bride. That's not what love looked like, because that is not the love that God had intended. And it has been my conviction and my desire as a leader to truly try, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, to hopefully snatch a few from the grips of this contaminated view that has presented itself in this world, that we be a church that understands and knows and do our very best and try to truly display, express, and to give this true love that we're talking about. I may be the only one that understands how it feels to expect something that you know should be a certain way and never get it in return. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe, not saying that I'm perfect, but realizing that the importance of giving what you expect to give back, but if you don't get it back, you still give what you're supposed to give. That is my personal conviction. That is the personal conviction that I have for myself of trying to truly just make sure that I love sincerely and wholeheartedly. Not because I want something in return, not because I'm looking for something or trying to use this love that we speak of to manipulate or to show my display of affections or my honor or my intense feeling in a way that if I show this, I should hopefully get this. No, but I truly want to walk in the very essence of how Christ walked. And I believe that we all should walk that way. Because when I read about this scripture, and I'm going to get into it, when I read the scripture and I begin to put it in a different lens, in a different category, and what I mean by putting it into a different lens or a different category, I have to look at it through the lens of Jesus Christ. And when I look at that and I begin to try to align my spirit and my heart and my soul with the very essence of how Christ may have felt, this was almost as though this was the dictation or the example that he had to show the love that he showed for all of us. Because it says that in verse 4, it says that love is patient and love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant. And this gives us an understanding, or it gives us an example, or it shows us truly what love is. Love is something, and I'm talking about the love of Christ. I'm talking about that same love that God had for his creation, which in a sense is the same love that we should have for everyone else. If we are getting to a place where we get in our feelings and in our emotions, and we choose to hold back the love that God desires for you to give, then there is a disconnect in the love that we truly should have for everyone, good, bad, or indifferent. Does not matter who they are or what they are or what they did. And the crazy part about it is that if we're truly wanting to love somebody, it goes beyond what they do to us. Matter of fact, I've learned just from these scriptures that love, true expression of love, is not seeking anything in return. It's not looking for a response. It's not looking for payback. It's not looking for, matter of fact, it gives knowing that it's going to be rejected. It gives knowing that it's not going to be appreciated. It gives knowing that it's not going to be respected. And yet it still gives and gives even harder and further. And I'm learning in my life that it's okay to love, and it's okay to love deeply. It's okay to let the guards down from your heart that have been misguided and misused and have been broken and have been torn away and tearing apart. Because in essence, that's the love that Christ has for us. When we think about the love that we truly give, sometimes is the love that we get. And when it comes to relationships, when it comes to marriages, and this is my second marriage that God has blessed me with, and I thank God for it, because, not to throw shade, but I did not understand truly what love was. So when I truly didn't understand what love was, I didn't understand how to receive it or to identify it. Because over my life, it was from broken examples that I experienced that created expectations that could not be met. But it was when I understood, after heartbreak and brokenness and all these different things, when I looked inside of my own self, not blaming nobody, if they did this, this would have been this, if that would have been this, that, no, but not even looking at that, but just truly looking at myself. I did not display truly what I had expected to give back. And my desire now is to do that, not just so I can get it back. It is because that is the way that I'm supposed to do it. That is the way that we should operate. I hope I'm making sense to somebody. I know this is a different type of message, but I believe that a lot of times our view of love, our view of what this thing that we want and this thing that we should be giving out is misguided. Because when we brace it on the scriptures, we don't even fall close to what we're supposed to be doing to expect what we should be receiving, or vice versa, expect what we should be receiving, but we don't even give what we should be giving. Love is patient. It's not that saying of, I'm just sick of it. I'm just tired of it. And we give up on individuals and we give up on people because we're not patient. Love is kind. And we're not truly expressing love when we are nasty to people, or we talk about people, or we make ourselves better than people, or we just be short or curt with people, because love is kind. Love is not envy. We're not walking in love when we are coveting what other people have, and we're jealous because of their advancement. We're jealous of what they have, what they, God has blessed them with. We're not truly walking in love. We're not truly walking in love when we brag about the things that we have, or what really God has blessed us with that we really don't deserve. But we brag about, oh, I am this and I'm that. I know that I'm this. I'm the boss this. I'm better than this. I'm supreme, the cream of the crop, the top of the top. Whatever it is that you say, that's not love. Or is it, are we walking in love when we're arrogant? When we feel that we know it all, when we feel that everything is beneath us. Oh, no, I can't hang with y'all because y'all don't know, blah, blah, blah. Y'all not from this or you're not from that. I'm from this. I do this. I walk with this. I expect this. You're not walking in love. Love is not rude. When you treat someone in a way that makes them feel embarrassed or feel or hurts their feelings, that's disrespectful to them. We're not walking in love. That's not what love looks like. Love is not self-seeking, meaning that I'm going to do this because I know that I'm going to do this. It's all about this for me. It's all about that, what I can get. You're supposed to buy me this. You're supposed to buy me flowers. You're supposed to buy me some candy. You're supposed to buy, but what about me? What about you? You're supposed to do this for me. That's not what love is. That's not what love looks like. When you get impatient with people, it says here that love is not irritable. When a person that is still kind of developing certain things and trying to get it together, got some shortcomings in life, but just because they come in your surrounding or your circle and you just get it's something in you that just gets irritated, that's not love. And you feel that you have to say something just because you're irritated. We're not walking in love if we're operating in those things. Here's one of the major things. When we hold a tally of you did this to me, you did that to me, you always do this. Always is not always. Every time is really not every time. But you hold a list of all the things that you have that have been done to you, and you put these things on your heart, so to speak, and you keep a record of everything or everyone that has done you wrong. That's not love. When you see someone fall or do things that are wicked and you find joy in the fact, oh, here it is. Many of us, or some people, or many of us, I say many of us, may have looked at an individual that may have been a pastor, maybe an apostle, maybe been a preacher, maybe been whatever they may have been that God has called them to, that God has ordained them for that particular office to operate in, okay? And they make a mistake or they do something wrong or they get a misunderstanding on something and it caused them to not truly walk in true righteousness. And we find joy in exposing that. That's not true love. When we look at the essence of what love is, we can see where we may fall short in those areas. We can see where we may not be hitting the very marks that we need to mark. Because number seven basically is the one that kind of convicted me the more, that says that it bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, and endure all things. Going down to 8, it says that love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to the end. Meaning this, everything, the preaching, the prophecy, all these different things that we may do in actions, there comes a time when we will not be able to do that anymore. There comes a time when those things will only be for a particular moment, but love will go on and continually. Here's a big example, and I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but or going to this rather, I would say, but maybe this may help some people. Sometimes we, and I've experienced this, and try to see if I can say it how I'm seeing it in my head, as God is showing me. Even though the life of a person may end, listen to what I'm saying. Even though the life of a loved one that we have, brother, sister, father, mother, child, whatever, even though their physical life ends, and I don't know if there's any scientific fact on this or a spiritual fact on this, even though when that individual life ends, they go and leave this earth and they be with the Father, I have experienced that the love that they had still remains. That's interesting, isn't it? It is as though that love is a breathing and living thing that transcends far beyond the actions of which try to represent it. Because there is an impression that is left. There's a fingerprint that is left on the very heart of your soul that you cannot shake when you think about the expressions, the true expressions. Oh God, here it is. When you look and think about the true expressions of all these things in the life of that individual towards you. Listen to me and listen to me good. Is that because those things have been exemplified, have been proven, have been done, it leaves an impression on your heart that when the things can no longer be done physically anymore, it still continues and it goes on, right? What am I saying? My father displayed to me and to many people, my brothers, all these aspects of this thing. Now, he wasn't a perfect person, but he did his best to try to display all the aspects of these spiritual principles in his physical interaction with people. And it was so evident that the impression that was left is that I can technically feel the love continuing on, even though he's been gone over 6 years now. I think it's over 6 years, 6 or 7 years. He's been gone for over 6 or 7 years, but I still can feel the love because it was an impression that he left. So when we think about it like this, is that these things, and if you were to look at the verses, you know, all the verses basically, and if we were to truly take these things to heart and try to do what these things do, in other words, love is patient, so we should be people of patience. Love is kind, so we should be kind-hearted individuals. Love does not envy, so we should not be envious. Love is not boastful, so we should not boast. Love is not arrogant, so we should not be arrogant. Love is not rude, so we should not be rude. Love is not self-seeking, so we should not be self-seeking. Love is not irritable, so we should not be irritated, and does not keep a record of wrong. So that means that we should be in a place where we should forgive. That's what the essence of love is, because that is our desire to show and to express love, right? Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. So all these different things, number seven, even more, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endure all things. When we do these things, we are leaving a lasting impression over the lives of individuals and affecting people in such a way that they can begin to feel this thing that seems to be in a feeling or an emotion. It becomes real. And I know it becomes real because if you have to now for look at this thing as looking at the love of Christ. When Christ died on the cross for our sins and the blood ran down his body, that was a true essence of love that caused us to shift our lives and live in a way that we know that now there's nothing that is impossible. But now, even though Christ has been gone for so many years and so many generations and for so many decades, we still feel the love of Christ. Because the impression is still there. The fingerprint of his love is still there. It is still doing and is still moving. It does not stop and it does not go. Even the actual physical works of Christ were stopped. The love still continues on. One of my biggest desires and one of my Honestly, I'm be honest. I'm be transparent for a moment. I'm be transparent because I want to really help somebody. One of my biggest, I'll be honest, one of my, I would say, fears, so to speak, is to leave this earth, leave this world, and it hits home a little bit more to me when I think about just, I'm just using like this, but I mean this openly too, but just solely, and I shared it with my wife, is that to leave this earth and not be able to tell my blood daughter, okay, and it does transcend out of that, but I'm using this for the point, to tell my blood daughter, or to show my blood daughter, truly how much I truly love her, all right? To express that to her. That's one of my biggest fears, of leaving this earth and she not know how much I truly love her. Talked about Jada. And that fear, it does trickle out over to not only just Jada, but to my wife, to my son, to Olivia, to my mother, if God takes me before my mother, you know, to all of you that are on this podcast. That's one of my biggest fears, to leave this earth and you not know that I love you. Love you as a brother. Love you as a sister. Love you as a mentor. I love you as a pastor. I love you as a child of God. That is one of my biggest fears. However, in thinking about this, okay, this scripture, and it was funny because I'm going to share a little backstory with you. This sermon was something that I put in my notes maybe a few months ago, early prior to this moment. And to give you a general gist of kind of how I operate, and remember what I've said, and y'all bear with me, I'm going somewhere with this. A lot of times God will give me something and I'll make a note of it and kind of start putting elements to the topic that he says. He may give me a catchy little something, or I may hear something and be like, wow, something resonates in me, and the scriptures start getting lined up with it. Okay. Like he may say red rose, and then scriptures about that lines up, or the angle, or whatever he wants me to say, it lines up with it. It starts to kind of, you know, it kind of starts triggering things to put together for me to study and kind of put together and all that stuff. So I said all that to say this. A few months ago, I was joking around with my stepdaughter, Olivia, and we were talking about, I think it was ice cream sandwiches or something. And I was joking around with her because I was saying that, okay, yeah, the reason that I'm not going to allow you to do this, or I'm not going to give you an ice cream sandwich, is because I love you and I'm trying to keep you healthy and all these different things. And she said it herself. Said, that's not what love looks like, right? And it made me laugh. But it was true, because a lot of times, you know, from that moment, and as I begin to think about that over and over and over again, from that moment, our desire as people is to truly present a picture of what our love looks like to our families. We try to create it. We try to mold it. We hope that we instill it into them. That's the picture that we want them to see. And when I thought about it, that has been the picture that I've always tried to instill, not only in the life of my daughter, but I really try to instill that, or I've tried to, or make an effort to try to instill that into anybody that I really come in contact with. Because I don't, relationships that I have with people are not relationships that I look at and say, okay, either we're going to get along or we're not going to get along. I can get along with anybody. I have been anointed to get along with anybody. It is my desire to get along with anybody. It is my conviction to make sure I get along with anybody. Because if I truly want to be everything that God wants me to be, That is the requirement that I must take on and accept and embrace so that he can truly use me in all capacities of where he needs to use me. If I have restrictions that I choose to hold, then I truly can't be used by God. If I decide in my life that I'm not going to do or to be a certain thing or when the word just tells me this, then I truly can't be used by him, because the true representation of what he desires is someone that is truly yielded to all that that is required so that they can walk into all the blessings, but more so be used to the fullest capacity. So when getting that point, I realized that my biggest fear, which is now a conviction, has become to make sure I try to express all these different elements so that I can leave an impression on their hearts. So that when I leave this earth, whatever time that God says, which I hope it ain't soon, because I got too much stuff to do for his glory. Amen. But whenever he says that it's time, then that the impression that I've left on this earth is something that will allow the ones that I love to understand and to know that I always was in your corner. I always loved you. I always was there for you. You know, not in the sense of bragging or boasting, but know that, okay, yeah, if you felt that nobody else did, I know that I did. And I tried to show it in any kind of capacity. And hopefully something in my life will bring that to existence. And I believe this is one of those things that we as individuals, we as parents, we must make sure that we create. And this is something that I believe that we should do. We have to create the spiritual legacy over our children, because they need to experience what true love really is. And I'm talking about a true godly love. We should be the very example, because the same love that Christ has given us, the same grace and mercy and all these different things that God has given us, Christ has given us, is the same things that we should be displaying, not only to our family, not only to, you know, our friends, but also to the strangers, also to those that are outside of our circle, outside of our comfort zone, outside, even if those that have been identified as your enemies, hear me clearly, even those that have been identified as your enemies. Okay? We should love them, because it is through love, love of Christ, that it begins to change the dynamic of what they've experienced in their lives. And how we know this is because it is the same dynamic that has changed the experience of our lives. So what I've realized is that the people that God has taken away from our life left an impression of love on us, that we now know that their legacy or their love for us continues to go on, because we have examples of the expressions of it that lined up with the godly expression of the godly intent. And that, my friends, is what love looks like. That, my brother, my sister, is what love looks like. When we understand the essence of what is required of us, when we understand that this love that we are seeking is the love that we should be giving, when we understand that there is more to our lives than what we have made it to be. That there is something more that he requires of us. And we begin to understand this as we begin to read the Word of God. Because when we read the Word of God, it begins to let us understand and to know that no matter what we do or no matter what we say, and here is the method or the mode or the angle or the direction that I'm led and convicted to lead for the ministry that God has given us, is that we must be a people that shows the love of Christ without any question. Matter of fact, it is actually in our statement or in our mission statement. And many of us may not have really looked at it or seen it, but it's in there. Our vision statement, matter of fact, that's what it is. And I actually have been in the process of rewriting these things, but I want to put this out. I'm going to say it again because I want you to understand. But it encourages us, or the commitment of it is that we as our church, Restoring the Remnant Ministries, and I can only speak for us, and the ministry that we have individually and collectively, you know, by the influence of this ministry, we are committed to make sure we represent and to show what true love looks like. Our vision statement says it is this: Restoring the Remnant is a multicultural, radical bunch of faith-believing overcomers whose purpose is to display the continuous love. It starts right there, but it goes on further. Whose purpose is to display the continuous love, power, and authority of Jesus Christ by displaying a life of holiness, worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, and service to all people for all nations, that they may be restored in Jesus' name. The core of that is the expressing the love of Christ. The core of everything that we should be doing, the core of everything that we should pattern our life after, is to express the love of Jesus Christ. I don't care if you are a prophet. I don't care if you are a great preacher. I don't care if you are a worshiper. I don't care if you get the revelation straight from heaven and God gives you the breakdown in Hebrew, Greek, whatever he gives you the breakdown in. I don't care about all that. If we don't show love, then we are nothing. If we don't be people that love, we are really nothing. That's point blank and simple. That's it. That's the requires. That's the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is what? Love. If we don't have that or operate in that, then why are we even in existence on this earth? And how can we be so selfish as to receive the love of Christ so evident in our lives, and we don't return that to him by displaying it through somebody else, or to, you know, showing it to someone else? And I'm not just talking about the love you have for your family. I'm talking about the love you have for everyone, even the enemies, even the people that are unsafe. You may not like what they do or like how they act, but you got to love them. Point blank and simple. If we can get to that place, there's a powerful release of a supernatural blessing that is coming forth over your life. And I've learned one thing in this, because even the conflicts that I may have had in my life, conflicts from spiritual leaders, from family members, from friends, from whatever, I've learned to love, even though it may not come across that way, in a sense. And what I mean by is may not be received that way, but the true essence and the core and the intent of my heart is that to be there. Hey, you know what? I love you just like Christ loved you. I love you and respect you and honor you And, you know, I believe God is doing great things. I pray that he does great things in your life. I don't want harm to come towards you. I want the blessings of God to be so evident in your life, despite of whatever may have been said, or in spite of whatever may have been done about me. That don't even matter, because at the end of the day, here it is, at the end of the day, you know, at the end of the day, I've done some stuff and said some stuff to, you know, that Christ had to forgive me for, had to kind of cover in the blood for me. So who am I to hold somebody for something that Christ has already really covered? You know what I'm saying? But I hope that we get to be a people that truly expresses the love. And I'm not talking about just love to specific individual. Oh, this is my, no. Our church, we don't have cliques. We are one clique. We are one unit, one tight knit unit. That's the desire that I have. That's the desire that I'm trying to create. That's the desire that I want to express, because that's the what's in my heart. That's why God gave, you know, to me, and I'm speaking probably individually, but it's open to anybody. That's why I always say that once you're in our presence for 5 minutes, you're family. Technically, once you're in the presence, you're family. There's really no 5 minutes. 5 minutes is something that came. But as long as you're in there for like 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 30 seconds, you're family. You know, because we are obligated to love you just like Christ loved us. And that's the true representation of what love looks like. I pray that this message has been a blessing to you, and I pray that you've gotten something out of this message. And I have to take a moment for those that are still struggling with this love of Christ. To go back to John 3:16, it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You have to believe that you are loved by him. And that is the doorway to salvation. And it's very simple. And if you do not understand or know how to go about doing that, and you're still battling it in your mind, I tell you just to jump with faith. Jump and just believe. It won't cost you anything. It won't take anything from you. But it'll bless your life. And if you are willing to do that, I ask you to say this prayer with me. It's very simple. And it goes like this. Father, I am a sinner. Today, I choose to make you my Lord. I pray and ask you to come into my life. Come into my heart. I know that you are the Son of the living God that takes away the sins of this world. And I ask that you forgive me of my sins. And this day, Lord, I want to serve you. Teach me your ways. I pray that the Holy Spirit comes into my heart and lead me and guide me to all truth, that I may know how to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And right now, I plead the blood of Jesus over myself and my family. I plead the blood of Jesus over every plan, every plot that the enemy has tried to set before us to destroy my family. We come against it now in the name of Jesus. We destroy the assignment. We go back from generation to generation, and we uproot and pluck up any demonic force and activity that has been meant to destroy us. So I thank you, and I praise you. And if you have been or said that prayer, then all of heaven rejoices with you because the sound of one being saved. And today, I pray that this message has been a blessing to you. I pray that this message has blessed your heart and your soul in a way that it causes you to not only want to experience the love of Christ, but to be the love of Christ. I pray that this message has caused you to understand that he desires the best things in life for us, because that's his love. And this day, I ask, if this has been a blessing to you, and this show has been something that has moved your heart, we ask that you continually to support our ministry. You can go to www.rtrmi.org, hit our giving page, and please partner up with us, because we're in a mission to spread this gospel around the world. to share the love of Jesus Christ to all nations, to all creeds, to all colors, that they may become saved and walk in their God-ordained assignment. But today, I know that today you have been healed. Today you have been delivered. But praise God, you have been restored. This is Apostle Robert J. Douglas, and I just want to let you know, I love you with the love of the Lord. Enjoy your Valentine's Day. Show love to any people. It's okay to love. It's okay to love and to love deeply when you're loving with the love of Jesus Christ. So with that being said, I love you and I'm out. God bless you.